are to live for Him and honor His name. His law this morning is from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. These are the words of God. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let us take this privileged opportunity we have now to approach our Lord in prayer, confessing our sins in Jesus' name. Will you pray with me? Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess unto Thee that we are by birth sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved Thee above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy, therefore, to be cast away from thy presence if thou shouldst judge us according to our sins. But thou hast promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all penitent sinners who turn unto thee with a living faith, seeking refuge in thy fatherly compassion in the worth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. We come to you now, O Lord, confessing our individual sins to you in silence. Father, you have promised our transgressions thou wilt not regard, nor impute unto us our sins. Relying upon thy promise, we confidently beseech thee to be merciful and gracious unto us, and to forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of thy holy name. We pray all these for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. The Lord's promise is in Malachi 3. See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I'll be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who fear the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day I make up my treasure possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. The Holy Spirit testifies in the Word of God that our God is a consuming fire. He is holy, and we are to regard Him as holy. He is also merciful and slow to anger. He has shown us His holiness and His compassion in Jesus Christ, who suffered God's wrath, yet graciously forgives us for our sins, all those who come to Him in repentance and faith. So, brothers and sisters, all those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, clinging to Him in humility and contrition, and keeping covenant by His grace, God Himself promises you in His Word the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternal life. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let's respond to God's gracious forgiveness by singing joyfully unto Him. As we prepare to hear God's Word proclaimed, let us ask for the Spirit's blessing on our hearing, receiving, and responding by faith. Will you please join me in prayer? O Lord, our righteous Judge, since it has pleased Thee to choose us to be Your people and to separate us from the company of the ungodly, deliver us, Lord, from our weaknesses, our oppressions, our persecutions, and our sins. And grant that we continually, abiding in Your Son, in the company of the saints, that we would live in all purity and uprightness. May we ever magnify Thy holy name in Your one church throughout the world, through Jesus Christ, Your Son. Father, we offer ourselves to You now by faith. We pray, O Lord, that Your Spirit will move us, that Your Word will penetrate us to the division of soul and of spirit. We pray, O Lord, Your Spirit will melt away the dross of sin, that You'll strengthen our weaknesses of the flesh so we may resist sin and walk in holiness. And we pray, O Lord, that we would come in humility and faith, recognizing that You are God and we are not, and we need to be changed. Father, make us uncomfortable in our sin, and give us Your comfort in Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may cling to Him by faith, trusting in Him in all things, and that Your Spirit will lead us in faithfulness to Your covenant, obedience to Your Word, to glorify You in all that we do. And now, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Kinsman Redeemer. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As we prepare to sing, or I'm sorry, as we prepare to hear from God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Let us stand together and sing with one voice unto the throne of heavenly grace. Our sermon text this morning continues in Acts, in our sermon series. And we start in Acts 4, at the end of the chapter, verse 32. And then we will read through chapter 5, verse 11. Acts 4:32-5:11. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith, and do not harden your hearts. Acts 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, our passage this morning is a challenging one. First, it might be confusing to figure out what exactly happened in this scene. And second, why it happened. The chapter break here from 4 into chapter 5 doesn't really help the matter. These two sections which I have just read, they clearly go together. You have the people selling their possessions, giving to the church. You have Joseph called Barnabas. He sells his property and gives it all. And then we transition to chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, they do the same thing. They sell their property, but they don't give it all to the church. So these passages go together. Now the reason, first off, for selling all these goods is you have physical possessions to your name, to your family. And the church at this time, okay, that's the key, at this time needed to turn those physical goods into liquid money. Money that could easily be spent. Money that could be given to the poor. Money that could be bought for food for the church community. Because they had all things together as one. Okay, this was for that time. Do not read this passage, go home, and feel that you are sinning by not selling all your property. The reason for this is persecution is coming. The church would be persecuted in the first century. Jesus promised this. We covered this about a month ago. Jerusalem would be judged and destroyed. So there really was no point in holding on to that family property if the Roman army is going to come and burn it down to the ground anyway. And Jesus said that would happen. So Barnabas and others were wisely selling their possessions, and they were coming to lay it at the apostles' feet. And the scene is that those who bring the money, those who offer it to the church, were giving all. I sold my land, I got X number of dollars, and the church is getting all of it. That's the scene. That's what the people are doing. They're giving everything. All the revenue went to the apostles. The apostles for the church at the apostles' feet. Now, the Spirit mentions Barnabas as one who responded faithfully. Calls him out by name, even though there are others who are doing it. Barnabas, whom we'll read about later in Acts, he responded faithfully. He was a source of encouragement, even in his giving. On the other hand, Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, but they withheld some of the revenue for themselves. If you're going to come, if you're going to sell your property as part of this community, you give all of it. Do not get ahead of me, Dean. Do not get ahead of me. There's going to be some Sunday morning where I'm going to be sick, and the consistory is going to say, who should we get to preach? And all your eyes are going to be fixed on that one. I've lost my place, Dean. Now, they sold their property. It was their property. They sold it. The revenue was theirs. Peter says, you could have kept it. You could have kept it as your own. But by their coming, they are testifying that they're giving it all. Okay, that's implied in the text. That stepping forward, here we have X number of dollars. And that's fire. That must have been all they got for their property. Okay, so there's the appearance of giving it all. And from this, we need to gather the doctrine of private property. The doctrine of private property is the whole world belongs to God. The whole world belongs to God. You get that from our call to worship, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This whole creation belongs to God. He made it. He sustains it. He owns all of it. Everything belongs to Him. But by His grace, He entrusts His creation to His people. In the beginning it was Adam and Eve. Here's my creation, it's yours. And now here, church, the creation is yours. And His people are to exercise dominion over creation and steward creation and its gifts faithfully. So, your property, my property, our property, Barnabas' property, Ananias and Sapphira's property, ultimately belong to God. But these blessings, these goods, resources, God has given to us, He's entrusted them to us to be used for His honor and glory. Can we enjoy the gifts He's given us? Yes, absolutely. We ought to. He wants us to enjoy them. But we are not to use them for evil. We are not to use them frivolously. We aren't to waste His gifts. We are to give thanks to Him for everything. For example, that's why we pray before we eat, because the food we have is a gift from Him. Thank you for the gifts. And this is very important. This is directly relates to Ananias and Sapphira. The gifts He has given us, we have to think about how do we use these gifts for Him. How do we use these gifts to bring honor and glory to His name? How do we use the gifts He's given us for His kingdom's sake? So stewarding the money for God, Ananias and Sapphira, were within their rights to keep all of it. They were within their right to keep even just some of it. But the sin they committed, first off, verse 4, in chapter 5, Peter says, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Okay, that's the appearance thing. Coming forward with your hands full of money and offering it, saying, essentially, this is all we got for our property. Peter says, you're lying to God. Ananias lied to God. Verse 9. Peter said to Sapphira, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? She tested God in her lie. So their hypocrisy was called out, and their hypocrisy, giving in false pretense, they were judged. The Spirit reveals that Satan had so filled their hearts so they could lie. Satan had filled their hearts so they could lie to the Spirit. They gave in to temptation. God was doing a great thing in Jerusalem. God was doing a great thing through His people. The kingdom was going forth, growing, just as Jesus had promised. Thousands were coming to the faith, joining the church. And this historical and incredible work of the Spirit was changing the world. And it was significant enough that people and their families were selling everything. What would lead you to sell everything? Those of you who have farms that have been in the family for years, centuries, what would cause you to say, we're selling it tomorrow? It has to be pretty significant, right? And that's what's happening. This property, this division of land, was in the family line going all the way back to Joshua, when the promised land was distributed to the tribes. For Ananias and Sapphira, selling it all for the sake of the kingdom of God wasn't worth it. The disciples left it all to follow Jesus. Remember, they left Peter, James, Andrew, John. They left it all. Matthew left it all. He left his tax collector job. Ananias and Sapphira still clung to the old life. They were keeping a little something on the side. A little something for protection, maybe insurance. You know, if this kingdom of God stuff doesn't work out, it's nice to have the nest egg. And that lack of faith in giving it all to God ended up costing them everything. It cost them their lives. Let's pause there and the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Let's go on this side. Can I see your eyes on me, please? Good job. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good job. Now, I read a verse earlier from Malachi. You know what? Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, I have been pastor of this church. Who can raise your hand and guess how many years? Lennox, you have a guess?
2,000.
2,000 years? Not quite.
7?
Caleb? 3.5, almost 4 years, okay? Almost 4 years. Raise your hand, since I've come here, and my family, raise your hand if you have changed. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you've gotten taller. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've gotten smaller, or smarter. Smarter. Raise your hand if you've gotten smarter. Okay? You don't think you can get smaller? You've changed in 4 years. I've noticed it. And some of you have changed in a short period of time where you got really tall quickly. And some of you have slowly had kept a steady pace. But you've changed. And I've changed. And this church has changed. Who can raise your hand and tell me who doesn't change? God. Very good. Raise your hand if you were going to say God. Okay, hands down. I read from Malachi 3, and the Lord says, I, the Lord, do not change. The Lord says, I do not change. So, around 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Did God change in that period of time? Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. From creation to the first advent of Jesus Christ, did God change? No, he's the same. He's the same. He did not change. How about since Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven till now, 2,000 years, the time Lennox thought that I was your pastor? Did God change in that time? Thumbs up yes, thumbs down no. No, he didn't. Now I'm going to teach you a big word here. I can't see your eyes on me, so I know you're listening. The word is immutable. Can you say immutable?
Immutable.
Say
immutable.
Immutable. Can anyone raise your hand and guess what that means? Dean? Turn off the sound on the TV. Okay, mute.
Yeah.
It's a good guess. Okay.
So it can't be turned off.
That's a good guess.
Never changing.
Yep. Mutable is change. You think of, Dean, here's a word association for you. Think of mutate. When something mutates, it
changes.
God is immutable, so he doesn't change. Okay? I think you're smart enough to know that word. Immutable means God is the same yesterday. He's the same today. Will he be the same in a year? Will he be the same in 1,000 years? Will he be the same in 100,000 years?
Yeah.
Because he's immutable. Say immutable.
Immutable.
Okay. So what did you learn in church today? That God is immutable. You think so? Maybe right.
We're actually destroying our earth.
You think so?
We are.
Okay.
Because of the pollution.
The pollution? And all the hairspray and, yeah. And the baby seals. We need to recycle, right?
Don't be littering.
Don't be littering. All right. Not going to talk about that, Lee. All right, let's pray and thank God that he is unchanging. Okay, fold hands, close eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you don't change. And we can count on you to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, head back to your seats, please. Now back to Ananias and Sapphira. Jesus told his disciples that those who seek to save their lives will lose them. And those who lose their lives for Jesus' sake will save them. This is what Ananias and Sapphira did. They tried to save their lives. They put their trust in possessions, in money. And this grievous error costed them their lives. Those who seek to save their lives, Ananias and Sapphira, ultimately would lose their lives. As mentioned, this was a failure of faith. They didn't believe God. They didn't take him at his word. They didn't believe his messengers, the apostles. Because remember Peter's sermons in Acts 2, 3, and into 4. Jesus is the Son of God. Israel, you killed him. Judgment is coming upon Israel. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That was the basic content of Peter's sermons, the apostles' sermons. But Jesus also promised that that judgment would come, but the Holy Spirit would be with his people. And the Holy Spirit would be with them in the face of persecution and the testing of their faith. In a little while, 40 years, justice would come upon the faithless. The Spirit blessed thousands with repentance. And the early church was growing immensely and quickly. People took the message seriously. They heeded the call of the apostles to repent and believe in Jesus. They responded in faith. But Ananias and Sapphira, many more, didn't take the message seriously. Not everybody was converted at that time. And by not taking the message seriously, they did not take God seriously. For God is the creator and he is the sustainer of all things. And that includes you and me. He sustains us. In him we live and we move and have our very being. When we die, we go back into the ground and the spirit returns to the one who gave it. So as the song goes, he holds the whole world in his hands. That includes you. That includes me. And he decides whether or not to keep us alive today, tomorrow, the next day, or whether or not to take the spirit back and our lives end. This is death. We go in the ground, the spirit goes back to God. This is for every human being. We are like, in a sense, we are like inflated balloons floating around. And when God decides our lives are over, he lets the air out. That's the spirit. He lets the air out. We shrivel up as the balloon. Our lives are over when he decides it. So we're helpless to his judgment. He's God. We're not. Ananias and Sapphira clearly were helpless to his judgment. They tried to lie. They tried to lie to the all-knowing God. It's preposterous, isn't it? They lied to God like he didn't know. Boys and girls, what's that word for all-knowing? Starts with an O. Lee? That's all present. You're close. You're on the right track. Aubrey? Omniscient? Good job. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And Ananias and Sapphira lied like he wouldn't know already. He knew before they even did it. Psalm 139. O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Before a word is on my tongue, God knows it. He knows it before I know it. And it was ridiculous for Ananias and Sapphira to think. It's ridiculous for you and I to think that we can get away with something. That we can deceive God, that he doesn't see our sin from afar. Yet what do? We still sin, right? Even though it's ridiculous, we go for it. We disregard his word. We think very little about it. Or we don't regard God and his word. We just go about our lives giving very little thought to who he is and what he's called us to do. Even though every time we breathe, that's the spirit in us. Every breath. And when we do this, when we do not regard the Lord as holy, this has to do with our love for God. Okay, there's a lot of talk this day about love. Love, love, love. All we need is love. God is love, which is true. God is love. But what does God say about love? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we disregard his holiness, when we disregard who he truly is, we transgress his commands, we give little regard to him as God, we are not loving him. We are not loving him when we disregard him. That's the same way with our human relationships, right? You disregard your spouse, you pay little attention to your spouse, you're not loving me. And biblically speaking, if God is not number one, it's the opposite of love. It's hate. So when we live a day without thinking about God at all, without giving any regard to God, we are hating him. So in this we can see clearly why he was so severe with Ananias and Sapphira. They did not regard the Lord as holy. They committed a grievous offense against him. And he ended their lives. Their profession of faith in Jesus Christ didn't save them. Their personal relationship with Jesus Christ did not save them. All their past good deeds that they may have done did not save them at that moment. They sinned against Almighty God, failing to love Him, and He judged them on the spot. In a couple minutes, we will enjoy the high privilege of communing at table with this same God, this immutable God, who is the same God who judged Ananias and Sapphira, striking them down dead. And to come to this table is a blessing. But if we do so flippantly, if we do so without regarding His holiness, without considering our love for Him in regarding that holiness, it is a table of cursing. It's a table of judgment. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 31. I'm sorry, 34. And this is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthian church regarding the Lord's Supper and regarding His holiness, loving Him. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you.